Well, this week I was reading up on the internet about this new fad that is just absolutely sweeping the nation, or at least parts of the central Ozarks or the Appalachians, because this is going to sound a little country when I share this, but what we were learning about, what we learned about on the internet this week is this new fad called magnet fishing, which, what do you think of when you hear that? Nothing that my wife would ever like, right? But basically, what it is kind of exactly like it sounds. You just take a magnet and you stick a rope to the end of it and you chuck it in some sort of body of water. And what you pull out are all sorts of incredible treasures. So long as incredible treasures to you means bottle caps and garbage. Just as long as it's magnetic, right? We watched videos of people doing this online, and I think that whoever we were watching, they live like in a town that ends with Berg, like Vicksburg or Gettysburg or something, because what the guy was doing was he was pulling out all sorts of incredible Civil War relics from the rivers. You know, there would be like bullets and muskets and scabbards and all sorts of cool things, candle holders that Civil War soldiers would have used. And I'd never heard of the Battle of Lake San Marcos or anything, so I figured I wasn't going to find anything too exciting. But we kept our expectations down when Sam and I went out this week. I think I shared with you, when Lauren is busy, the first question that enters into my head is, what would Lauren hate to do? And that's the thing that Sam and I usually do, because we wouldn't otherwise do it. So Sam and I went out to a little pond in San Marcos and dropped the line in. And like I said, I wasn't really expecting much. So you can imagine my surprise when we dropped in the line and we started pulling it out. And all of a sudden we would get these little tings on the line. And every one of those meant something was sticking to the end of this magnet. And we pulled it up and you will be amazed at how many bottle caps are at the bottom of lakes in San Marcos. But in addition to that, fish hooks, old bolts, we even pulled up a couple of magnets, which I decided are from people who also read about magnet fishing and then gave up and threw them into the lake. But it was kind of exciting. You didn't know what you were going to pull up. And I learned a couple of things that day. First, when you're trudging the bottom of a lake, you gotta kind of expect a little bit of pond scum to come up at the same time. And so, you know, we were pulling these things up, and they smelled awful. And so what I learned is, if you're gonna go magnet fishing, don't wear your best outfit, and don't plan on doing anything afterwards at all, because, I learned hand sanitizer doesn't get rid of pond scum smell. Because I doused Sam in the antibacterial gel, and he did this for like 20 minutes. I made him rub his hands together, and then he said, "Daddy, I still smell like the docks." And I thought, in no way is your mom going to be happy to hear that. So the other thing that I learned, though, is Sam's kind of a catch-and-release guy when it comes to magnet fishing, because we'd pull up all these things, and then he'd just kind of go, "Nope." And he knew they were junk, and he'd throw them back in. And I started to wonder after a while if Lauren had pulled him aside and just said, "You know, if Daddy pulls up anything that looks like garbage, just get it back in there for me." Because that's sort of what happened, and when he just kind of threw it back in. And the third thing that I learned was that you almost catch a lot of stuff. It's kind of like reel fishing in that way. Telling the story of how you almost caught something is really not that impressive. There were a few times we would drop the magnet in, and you'd start to feel like this big pull for a while, and you'd kind of tug and tug. I think I was on like a Volkswagen Bug or something, and I'm trying to pull it up, and then all of a sudden it releases, and it lost the magnetic pull on it. And then, you know, you'd pull up your line, and then there should be more bottle caps. And so, I had all these stories of how we almost got stuff, and when we picked Lori up and we met back with her, I kind of imagined that she was going to ask, how'd it go? What did you get? That she was too busy trying to pretend like she didn't know us. But she never asked. But all my stories were, we almost got something big. you know, and almost just means, it's a nice way of saying you didn't get anything, you know, and so almost in fishing, even magnet fishing, is not that impressive of a story to tell. One of the things that the bishop had kind of inspired us about when he came a few weeks ago is the importance of practicing your discipleship, which is why at the start of all of the services, I'm now asking, what did you do to practice your discipleship this week? You know, it's not just a thing that we want to learn about or study about on Sunday. We have to go and practice it. It's like if you wanted to be an auto mechanic and you went to mechanic school and you took all of these classes, you learned how a carburetor works or the history of automobiles. You learn about people like Henry Ford and Bob Toyota and all of these people. I made that last one up. But you learn about all of these things. You take an elective on seatbelts and you know everything there is to know about cars. And then you become a mechanic and a car sputters into the shop and you say, no, thank you. I don't want to get my hands dirty. There's a real problem there, right? And discipleship is so much about getting our hands dirty and actually doing the work of ministry. And I think a lot of people think what I'm saying is we have to grow our church. We have to get bigger. And I love numbers because numbers mean that the kingdom is growing. But it's not about that. What it's about is that as you do those things, it changes you. It changes us. And when we talk about Jesus, when we pray in his name to people, we start to act more like Jesus. And my responsibility in this place is to help shepherd you to look more and more like Jesus. And so that's why we have to disciple. That's why we have to put into practice what we learn here. My job is to encourage those practices so that you learn to be more and more like Jesus. And now our gospel today is all about putting faith into practice. It starts with a great beware. Jesus kind of shares, beware of the religious leaders, especially those in long flowing robes. And I'm a little nervous when I read that. But it doesn't mean you don't have to listen today. You still do. But he says, beware of them. When I say the word pious, what do you guys think of? Is that a good word? Does it leave a bad taste in your mouth? Does it make you kind of feel silly? It's a good word, right? But it makes us all feel uncomfortable. And it's for people like this. It's because of people like this, these religious leaders who demonstrate, who exude all levels of pure piety on the outside. When they go into the marketplaces, they look so good. They pray for long times. And they show off how pious they are, but behind closed doors, they cheat widows, arguably the most vulnerable people in that time. They swindle others, and they're not about shepherding people toward holiness, but instead, they're all about showing, demonstrating their own holiness. But boy, do they preach well. Boy, do they teach well. They pray on corners for long times, but Jesus says, beware of them. Can you see why? It's dangerous. Here's what I was thinking about, though. I don't know a single person who in ministry started out by saying, this is a really good way to cheat widows, orphans, and the vulnerable. You know, we all know people who are tired or exhausted or cynical in ministry, burnt out, those who have walked away, those who maybe should have walked away because they're kind of giving a bad reputation. We all know those people, but none of them started out by saying, I'm going to give Jesus a bad name. So what happens? It means somewhere along the line, something has changed. And my guess is it was nothing that was a clear cut, but maybe something subtle that starts to change us and sours us and changes us into those people that give piety a bad name. Hypocrites. Cut to the second half of this gospel lesson. Jesus is sitting in clear view of the collection box in the temple. you know, I have to imagine this was a good thing at some point, in the same way that we do public collections here. Not to show off, not to look to see what other people are giving or what other people aren't giving, but really to say we're all in this together. We're collectively building the kingdom of God, and we show our hearts and our testimony by what we would give. And so I have to imagine this was a good thing at some point. But of course, when people are involved, the system gets abused. And so now you have to imagine that there's somewhat of a spectacle as people give money into the temple collection box. The wealthy, the powerful, you know, the influential people in society, when they would give their gifts, people would watch. And I have to admit, if Bill Gates was giving a contribution, I would be interested in how that goes. You know, there's got to be some spectacle to it and some excitement, especially when they're giving cash and you get to see this, right? I mean, I've never seen a Bill Gates contribution in cash. So there's some spectacle to it. And certainly that system can be abused. And so the rich and the powerful and the outwardly pious would give these great contributions for show. And so Jesus is watching people do this. Maybe they're giving 1%. 5%, 10% of their money. And I have to imagine at some point the crowds die down. And now a widow comes out. And she goes to the collection box and drops in 2 coins, the widow's mite. She drops in 2 coins and walks away. And Jesus calls all of the disciples together and says, "Guys, look, did you see what that woman just did? She didn't give a big contribution, but what she gave was everything. Everything. And now, which of these contributions is more important in Jesus' eyes? Was it the large one or the small one?" So what do we learn about Jesus in that moment? It's not about quantity, is it? It's about the quality of that donation. It's about what it really represents. Think about this for a second. The people who are making the big contributions, the Bill Gateses of the day, the Herods, and the leaders of the Sanhedrin, they give these big numbers, and maybe it represents a large number. Maybe it's 10% of their income, but they know where they're sleeping tonight. Nobody gave a contribution that day and then said, "Well, great, now what am I going to have for dinner?" But this woman, she didn't give 5 or 10%. Even 50%, what she gave was 100% of what she had. That is practicing faith, isn't it? Here's what's thrown me off all week when I've been thinking about this. It might seem small, but I think it's important. How many coins does she have? Two, right? I think that's important. Consider what it would look like if she had 1, okay? That's an easy decision, do it or not. That is a number that's not divisible. And so it makes sense for her to drop in the 1. But I think there's a greater temptation when there's 2. Because all of a sudden you have 2 in your hand. This is clearly divisible. I could do 1 or the other. I can divide this up. And certainly, in that moment, that's a pretty impressive giving. Right? That's an impressive donation. 50% of your income. No one would fault her for that. But she makes an important decision to not divide it up, but instead give both. What would it mean if she only gave 1? What would it mean about her level of trust? It would mean that she was almost trusting God for everything. Almost. And that's where discipleship, I think, comes in. Because I don't think you can be a disciple and almost trust God with everything. Last week, I gave us a challenge. I said, you know, the scriptures point to this thought that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in every one of us who have said yes to Jesus. Do you remember that? I said the power that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. So go do ministry. Go do ministry. I don't care what it is, but just go and do ministry, because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in every one of us. And I have to be honest, the first day when I remembered that, I said, Lord, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. And I'm available. Whatever you want, Lord. I give you everything. And I went out empowered and excited, and I got to share Jesus with people, and I understood their lives more. And I was prepared to serve in Jesus' name in every aspect of my life. And the second day I said the same thing, Lord, I am prepared to do ministry in your name. I am available all day today to do ministry in your name. And then the third day I got a little busy. And I said, Lord, I'm almost prepared to do everything in your name. I've got some time that I need to kind of block out for some other stuff, but I'm available other than that one time to do everything in your name. And then the next day, I kind of scheduled him in. And part of my day, 50%, that's still really good, right? That's a huge contribution of time. And then the next day, it became, Lord, I can maybe squeeze you in between these hours to do the ministry in your name. Do you see how almost everything goes and becomes something totally different? We get burned out. We get tired. We don't really represent him when we give him almost everything. You see, there is no almost when it comes to discipleship. There is no, I almost trust you, Lord. There is no, I almost give you everything. Because almost trust you is like saying almost saved. Can you imagine what it would sound like if Jesus added almost to his ministry? I almost love you. I will almost never forsake you or leave you. I will almost die for the sins of the world, and almost all of your sins are forgiven. Do you see how silly that sounds? And so why should almost be in our spiritual vocabulary at all? So what's the almost in your life? It's fantastic that we give Jesus so much of our hearts and our love. But when almost is concerned, that's the line that separates Christians and churches. There is no almost if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. Because there is no almost in anything that Jesus does. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak right now into our hearts and so highlight what that almost is for us. Jesus, I pray that you would make our outsides look like our insides. Lord, remove all exterior signs of piety where our hearts don't match. And even more, Lord, we ask that you would just help us today to get rid of the almosts in our lives. We know the trajectory of almost. And Lord, we pray that you would instill in us a knowledge that we're saved once and for all, that you love us, and that we love you with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength.
Lord, grant us the desire to be all and not almost. As we put all our trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
With all your hearts, let us stand and shout out the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to fulfill your great commission, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that you have commanded. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, and especially to Foley Beach, our Archbishop, Keith Andrews, our Bishop, Father Brian and Father Don, our priests, and Dee Renner and Rosalind Marver, our deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your true and life-giving word and rightly administer your holy sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to rule the hearts of all who govern us. May they administer justice, govern wisely, and strive for the welfare and peace of the whole world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly ask you, gracious Lord, to comfort and strengthen all those who in this earthly life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We offer special thanksgivings today for the birthdays of David Brewer, Arlene Gibbs, and Tess Goodwin Kimmett. You may add your own thanksgivings and requests.
Thank you, Lord, for this church family.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We bless your holy name for all your servants who departed this life in your faith and fear, praying that you would grant us grace to follow their good examples, that with them we might partake in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the life and ministry of our brother Ed. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Together,
most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done,
and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Family, please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with your spirit.
Peace of the Lord.
Peace
of the Lord. Peace of the Lord.
Birthdays and anniversaries. All right, Sister Arlene. And Nick. All right. You're Friday the 13th, huh? What about you, Nick?
November 10th.
November 10th. All right. Well, let's pray together for our family here. Oh God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on these your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God the Father bless you, God the Son heal you, and God the Holy Spirit grant you strength, wisdom, and courage to do the ministry and service that he has called you to do. May he glorify himself in all the ministry that you would accomplish in this year ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Happy birthday. Ascribe to the Lord the honor and glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts with praise and thanksgiving.
Thank you.
our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is just and right so to do.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He offered himself and made once for all time a perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted this remembrance of his passion and death, which he commanded us to continue until he comes again. And so now, Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify with your word and your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine, that we may partake of his most blessed body and blood. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my body, or the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of our sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And therefore we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord and Heavenly Father, with these holy gifts we celebrate the memorial instituted by your beloved Son, remembering his passion and death, his resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again. Granted by his merits and death and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion, making us one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And here we offer to you, O Lord, all of ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
Takes away the sins of the world, and by his stripes we are healed. Blessed are you who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
Lord our God, giver of all good and perfect gifts from above, Father of our heavenly lights, we pray that you would rain down your Holy Spirit on these, your disciples, but as they lay their hands upon those who come forward, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead would be in them and flow through them, that you would be glorified, and that we would see mighty works in your name. And it's in that name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. If you would like prayer for yourself or someone you love, please join them in the church office.
We thank you for feeding us with spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
And for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members
of the body of your Son
and heirs of your eternal kingdom.
And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. And he will take great delight in you and quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, right.